going through the gospel. And I hope that you will do that. I forgot to do the verse again. All right? Boy, I'm forgetting this. Okay. How many of you could say Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10? Raise your hand if you think you could. Okay. All right. How many of you say, I could not do that? No way. Okay. All right. How many of you could say, maybe, you know, if you kind of gave me a head start? All right. Okay. Romans chapter 10 tells us that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth, let's say it together, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Now, verse 10 is very crucial here. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. All right. How many of you went out with your visitation partner this last week? All right. Okay. One, two, three. All right. Four. Okay. Very good. Russell, you went out with me, right? Was that you sitting in that truck next to me when I was? Okay. I was wondering who that was. All right. So, very good. So, I hope that you will do everything you can to try to give the gospel to people. All right. So, this outline I just gave you, I hope that that gives you enough information that at least helps you to know a little bit more of the logic or the context of what the outline is saying. And the verse, did you show that slide, Patrick? The assignment, I'm sorry, I didn't see it. What's that? Okay, the verse for next week, and as a matter of fact, let's go through these verses. Okay, can we do this? All right, now next week's verse is Luke chapter 13, verse 3. All right, can we say these together? John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. 1 John chapter 3, verse 4. Now this one gets a little bit cumbersome. And whosoever transgresseth also the law, or transgresseth the law, see, I don't even know it. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth the law. But the main point I want you to understand in that one, sin is the transgression of the law. All right, Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Revelation 20:15, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. That's verse 14. And verse 15 says what? Chapter 20, verse 15. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. How about Roman or 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God. In him, is it? Okay, in him. All right. Romans 10:9-10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. All right, so what we have done at this point has been going through these 5 points of the gospel. There's 2 key questions. And whatever your conversation at the beginning is, you want to somehow get to this key, these 2 key questions. What are they? Number 1, If you were to die tonight, are you 100%, can you say it with me? If you were to die tonight, are you 100% sure that you would go to heaven? Now, I just talked to somebody today, and I said to them that question, oh yeah. I said, well, if you were to, what's the second question? If you were to die and stand before God, and He were to ask you why He should let you into heaven, what would you say? And this individual said, I don't know. See, so there's a lot of people that will say they know, but they really don't know. All right? So we give those two questions and we say, well, let me show you in the Bible how to answer these two questions. First of all, can you say the point with me? God is good, a God of love who does not want anyone to perish. But there's a problem. Why are people perishing? Because number two, all men are sinners. And because they're sinners, and you're a sinner, and I'm a sinner, there's consequence for our sins. So that brings us to number three. What is that? The payment for our sin, or for your sin, is death. Okay? So I hope you got that right on that quiz there. So which means that if you die in your sin, you will have to go to hell for your sin. And that's a very sobering truth. But you don't have to go to hell. Because that brings us to point number four. Okay, Brother Patrick, we can get there. Did everyone get that outline, the blank outline? Okay, here we go. And I think I have this here. So, Jesus Christ, God's Son, died on the cross of Calvary to be the full, sufficient payment for your sin. Now, that's a little wordy, but it's a very important sentence because this tells us who Jesus Christ is. He's God's Son. This tells us what Jesus Christ did. He died on the cross. But He not only died on the cross for sin, because you could ask somebody, why did Jesus die on the cross? They'll say, for man's sin. But it's important that we understand it's the full, sufficient payment for your sin. All right? Now, the key verse, exposure, the key verse that we have here is, what is that? Anybody know? Romans, this is the verse I use, Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. Now, we didn't say that one yet, have we? Okay, Romans chapter 5, and let's go over there, Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. Now, what I'm going to share with you, this is good. This is good news. Because what we have been sharing with people is bad news. The bad news is because of their heart being wicked and they're selfishly rebelling against God, the Bible says they'll go to hell. But they don't have to go to hell because the gospel is good news. And so, Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, notice it says, but God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So, Romans 5:8 is the verse that we're looking at here. Christ died for us. Now, we're showing this person this verse, and there's two key thoughts in this verse. First of all, Christ died. All right? So here God looks in the world, and He sees that the world is full of sin. And being a holy God, He cannot just overlook sin. But being a loving God, He does not want sin to cause people to go to hell. So what did He do? Well, God came to this earth in the form of a man. And that man is Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ, he lived on this earth for 33 years. He did many wonderful things. He caused the blind to see. He caused the deaf to hear. He caused the crippled to walk. But one thing Jesus Christ never did was sin. He was tempted in all points just as we are, but yet without sin. And basically what we find here is that Christ, though he had never sinned, paid a sin debt. So Christ paid a debt he did not owe. Now we owe a debt that it would take eternity in hell to pay for. And he saw that he paid the, you know, he did not deserve to die, but we deserve to die. So what did he do? He became a substitute. Or in the words of Jeff Musgrave, we have this great exchange. And the scripture says he became sin for us. And he, like a substitute teacher taking the place of a regular teacher or a substitute ball player going in to replace the regular ball player, Jesus Christ came in and took the penalty for our sin. He took our place as the payment for our sin. Now, I like to emphasize this. If you notice, this payment for sin was, first of all, it was, Christ for us. I didn't give you that. So Christ died for us. All right? This payment for our sin was complete. It was complete. Now, John chapter 19, verse 30 tells us that when Jesus was on the cross and when he was given the vinegar, the Bible says he made this statement. He said, "It is finished. It is finished." Now, what does the word "it is finished"? Anybody know? Not the Greek word, but what does it mean? All right, tetelestai. But what does that mean? Paid in full. And when something is paid in full, that means there's nothing else to pay. So if I have a car loan, how many of you have ever had a car loan? Okay, I like Dave Ramsey. You know, he talks about, you know, how so-and-so has a nice car, man, he's really cool. And he said, but what you don't realize, that guy's broke. He's paying all this money on that nice car. But think about it. For 5 years, say, you know, you're paying on this car month after month after month. And then finally you make the last payment and they write you out a receipt that says paid in full. And when that is paid in full, there's nothing else to pay. So if they send you another bill, what do you do? If you're keeping track of these things, you could ignore it. Maybe they send a bill collector. So you go down there and say, hey, I don't need to make another payment. Why? Because I paid the last payment. It was paid in full. And so if you can prove that, then they could just rip up that last bill because it was totally paid for. When Jesus was on the cross, and let me just say something. I think it was Hudson Taylor that found some material and he found out about the gospel. And he saw Jesus when he paid the full sufficient for our sin. When he saw that it was paid in full, he thought to himself, then there's nothing else left for me to pay. See, some people think that you go to heaven by Jesus plus all these other things you got to do, and if you don't measure up, then you won't go to heaven. But the fact is, it's paid in full. And this is why 1 John chapter 1, verse 7 tells us that the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from how much sin? All our sin. So that means all our past sin. That means anything I've ever committed in my life. And I may be very ashamed for the way I lived in my life. I may be very ashamed of how I had sinned against God. Maybe I did some things I shouldn't have done. Or maybe I didn't do some things I should have done. And that sin, the Bible says God cleanses us from that. He cleanses us from any present sin. So what if I mess up? What if I just today thought a wrong thought? Or did the wrong thing? Or acted in a wrong way? Now, if we know the Lord Jesus Christ, as we'll see here in a minute, we're not happy about that. But you know what? The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all of that. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from future sin. He has paid the full, sufficient payment for any sin that I could commit. Someone said, well, I don't believe that. Well, think about this. When Jesus died on the cross, every one of our sins were future. He took the whole world's sin and paid the full sufficient payment for our sin. And so we want to try to drive this home to people that Christ paid it all. So if that payment on the cross, if it was complete, there's something else. It also makes a sinner right with God. See, this is the high idea of righteousness. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin. He became sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God. And we cannot be right with God by our good deeds. We cannot in any way, shape, or form do anything. Now, people want to do something. They want to get baptized to do this. Or they want to have communion to do this. Or they want to just live a better life. You know, I've often told people, you know, they'll say, well, I'm trying to, you know, I need to turn over a new leaf. And I said, you could turn over the whole tree and it's not going to make any difference whatsoever. The truth is that in order to be right with God, Jesus paid it all. I mean, I almost want to start singing. There is a fountain filled, and Jesus, there it is. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. But what did he do? He washed it white as snow. That's why Jesus died. He died for the full sufficient payment for our sins. And you cannot, and I cannot be right with God because of any good deeds that I do. For by grace are you saved through faith. It's not of yourselves. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. So we are made right with God by Jesus Christ's death on the cross. That's good news. Do you say? Can I hear an amen? Anybody agree with that? Think about that. Satan likes to attack us. He accuses the brethren. Revelation chapter 12. But it says they overcame him how? By the blood of the Lamb. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that washes white as snow. The scripture tells us Jesus paid it all. And the reason why any of us will ever get to heaven, it's not because we were church members, it's not because we served as deacons or pastors or Sunday school teachers, it's not because we were good wives, it was because of the blood of Jesus. So, we want to illustrate this. And again, sometimes I forget my illustrations, even when I'm presenting it. But sometimes the illustrations can help. And if you remember, when we were talking about the crucial issues of the gospel, I told you I got online and I found an illustration. I like it so much, I'm going to include it here. And that illustration is the book of my life. All right? So here I am witnessing to somebody, and I will use my Bible since it's a book, though this illustration is referring to something else. So we look at this book, and let's say the first page of this book is my birth certificate. And the last page of this book is my death certificate. And between all these pages, and of course this is a Bible, but illustrating here, these are the deeds of my life. These are the things that I have done. There are things in here that I have not done. There are things in here that were terrible sins, like we've already discussed when we talk about we're all sinners. Now, to illustrate this, let's say, for instance, 90% of what I did in my life was good. And if 90% of what I've done in my life is good, but only 10% of it is bad, and I compare it to, say, for instance, you take sewer water. And let's say I have 90% pure water. And if 90% of the water I have is pure, but I take 10% of sewer water and pour it into the 90% of bad water, what does that make all the water? It's all impure. If I were to keep all the law and yet offend in one point, James chapter 2 tells us, then in chapter 2 verse 10, that if I offend in one point, what am I? Guilty of all. So, here is God, and He's looking at me. And let's let my hand represent me, and let's let this hand represent God. And God wants to have fellowship with me, but He can't have fellowship with me. Why? What's in the way? My sin. So what did Jesus Christ do? Jesus Christ came to this earth, and we're told, and it's an interesting verse in Isaiah 53, verse 6. Do you know it? We did quote it earlier in our study, that all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. But then what? But the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Christ paid the full, sufficient payment for our sins, so that when God looks at me, He sees Christ and there is fellowship. So, I like that illustration because that maybe, hopefully, helps someone to see that Jesus paid it all. There's a second illustration I often use. It's the millionaire and the billionaire. And let's say, for instance, you as an individual, you have $1 million of debt. Now, I'm not going to ask you how many of you are in debt. But if I were to say to you, if you were to say to me, you know, preacher, I am $1 million in debt, and the debt collectors are coming after me, and they say that if I do not pay that $1 million in such and such a time, I'm going to be turned over to the bill collectors and I'm going to go to jail. Now, I will say to somebody, you know, if you are $1 million in debt, you are looking at the wrong guy to get you out of debt. Because I don't have $1 million. It would take somebody who had $1 million to get you out of debt. And Jesus Christ, when he died on the cross and paid for our sin, he's the only one qualified to pay for all of our sin. Why? Because he never sinned. I couldn't pay for your sin because I have sinned. So Jesus paid the full, sufficient payment for your sin. But let's even up the ante a little bit. Let's say you have $1 million in debt, and this is probably more likely the scenario. Let's say there's a billionaire. Now, we have heard enough about billionaires in the last couple decades that now we are a little used to that. So let's say you have a billionaire, and that billionaire said, hey, I will pay your $1 million in debt. But I'll even do better than that. I'll give you $2 million. Now, if he paid $1 million, you'd be out of debt, right? But if he gave you $2 million, guess what? You're a millionaire. And you see, you would not only be out of debt, but you would have some extra things. When Christ paid for all your sins, he not only forgives you from all your sins, but you know what? He gives us many other riches and blessings. What are they? Well, a right standing with God. I can come and fellowship with God. I can come boldly into the throne of grace, we're told in the book of Hebrews. Did you know that if all of my sins are paid for in Christ, he gives me the ability to live for God. And this is something that a lot of people don't realize. That, you know, if you will become a Christian, you can do what God says to do. And not only that, not only are your sins forgiven, not only are you in right standing with God and an ability to live for God, guess what? You also get to go to heaven. Some people give their gospel presentation in such a way that the big thing is that they get to go to heaven. The big thing is that sin does not separate them anymore from God. But you get to go to heaven. So here's a question. If Christ died on the cross for all sinners, does that mean that everyone's going to heaven when they die? No. We already looked at the fact that there are people that are going to die and go to hell. What makes the difference? All right, and that's our transition sentence to the next point. All right? Now, this Wednesday night, I want you to do your best, team leaders. We're going to break up into our groups, and we're going to let you try to share those points with the person that you are responsible for. Now, let's kind of go over this. Brother Dave, where you at? My lost person. All right. Now, how much time is this going to take? It's been taking us a month. But about 30 minutes, 20 to 30 minutes. And if somebody doesn't have 20 to 30 minutes, there's really not much I can do for them. All right? So, we've seen, Dave, you answered that you didn't know. And I said to you, well, I want to show you five things from the Bible to show you how you can be 100% sure. All right? Now, or the answer to the questions I asked. The first one is, God is good, a God of love, who doesn't want you to perish. Okay? The second thing is that the reason why people are perishing is because you are a sinner. And to your own admission, you admitted that you were a sinner. The third thing I showed you is that the payment for your sin is death. And because of your sin, the Bible says you deserve to go to hell. But you know, Dave, you don't have to go to hell.
That's good.
Okay? I have some good news for you. The fourth thing I want you to see, and I told you I'm going to give you five things, okay? The fourth thing I want you to see is that Jesus Christ, God's wonderful Son, died on Calvary's cross to pay the full payment for your sin. Now, I want to explain that, okay? Look here at Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. It says that God commendeth his love toward us. He loves you so much, as we saw in John 3:16, in that while you were a sinner, we were sinners. Christ died for us. Okay, and I have that underlined. Christ died for us. Two things. Number one, Christ died. God looked at your sin and he said, I don't want Dave to go to hell. So the Bible tells us that God came to this earth in the form of a man. He did many wonderful things. But one thing he never did was sin. And the Bible tells us that he died. And because he died, the Bible tells us he rose again. And I didn't mention that before, and that's a good thing to remind people of. He rose again from the dead. Now to prove that he had died, he was buried. And to prove that he was God, he rose from the dead. And he paid for that sin of ours and your sin. So, the Bible says he died for us. He took your place. He became your substitute. Just like a substitute teacher takes the place of a regular teacher, Jesus took your place on the cross. And when he died for you, that payment for your sin was complete. We're told that in Jesus, when he was on the cross, he said, it is finished. That means paid in full. And just like if you had a car payment for 5 years and you paid the last payment, that once that's paid, there's no other payments that need to be made. And the scripture tells us that when Christ paid the payment for your sin, that there is no other thing necessary to deal with your sins. Christ paid it all. And this is why it tells us in 1 John that the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. That means all your past sins, all your present sins, and all your future sins. All right? Now, that doesn't mean it's okay to sin, but it just means that he paid it in full. All right? So not only was it complete, the Bible also says when he died on the cross, he did that to make you right with God. See, that's the key. We want to be in right fellowship with God. Because of sin, we turn from God. But Jesus Christ, when he died for our sins, he made us right with God. And the scripture makes it clear that when he did that, he made it so that we are not ever going to have to be out of fellowship with him, or at least out of relationship with him, at least. Now, we can sometimes sin and get out of fellowship, kind of like a parent. You know, if your child goes and does something wrong, you don't kick them out of your family if you're a good parent. But you might have to say, okay, go to your room and discipline him. See, I brought up something. Let me just interrupt. I brought up something I better explain. Okay, I don't know why I brought that up, but, you know, because you really don't lose relationship with someone, but you can lose a fellowship with the Lord. And that means you need to get back in relationship or fellowship with him. So, the scripture tells us that Christ paid the full payment for our sins. All right? Okay. Now, let me illustrate that. Let's say, for instance, this book here, it's a Bible, but I want to illustrate something. Let's say this first page in this book is my birth certificate. And the last page in this book is my death certificate. All right? So, let's let all these other pages represent my life. Now, let's say that in my life, I have done 90% good. And let's say in your life, you've done 90% good. But what about the 10% that you did bad? So the scripture makes it clear that just because you've done many good things, that doesn't excuse you from the bad things. So let's say, for instance, we had 90% of a gallon of water, and we said, okay, that's pure water. But what if I poured in 10% of sewer water in that? That whole water would be contaminated. And the Bible says that in our lives, if we sin against God, if we keep all the commandments and yet offend in one point, we're guilty of all. So God looks at our lives and he says, this is corrupted, this is polluted. So here is God, here you are, and here's man, and here's God. And God looks at you, and what does he see?
Well, he sees the Bible. Jesus.
Okay. That's the problem when you use a Bible. Okay, so we're not talking about a Bible.
Oh, okay.
Okay, let's use this book. Okay, what did this represent?
It represents hymns and songs.
Okay, let's start over.
Okay.
Okay.
Not from part one, okay.
Birth certificate. I don't know if he's...
Your life.
Oh, okay. I didn't know if he was toying with me or what. All right. Now, really, sometimes people get confused, and that's why we want to go back over it. Okay. So this is your life, right? Okay, so here you are, and this is, God wants to have fellowship, but what's keeping you from having fellowship with him?
Well, my sin, I guess.
You guess?
Well, what you're saying is, if I was bad, I didn't receive him, and therefore I would go to hell. So I have, obviously, my sin.
Okay, so this sin separates you from God. But the Bible tells us in Isaiah, in the Bible, that the Lord hath laid on Jesus the iniquity of us all. So that now, when God looks at your life, he sees that your sin has been paid for. And God looks at your life, and he says, I can have fellowship with him. See, that's why Jesus died on the cross. Let me illustrate this way, because you're a little slow on that one. Okay. I wouldn't say that. Duh. Okay. All right. No, that's fine. Let me give you another illustration. Let's say you were $1 million in debt. I don't know anything about your financial situation. But if you were $1 million in debt, and you didn't have $1 million to get out of debt, and someone said, okay, if you don't pay off your $1 million, you're going to have to go to jail. Now, if you needed somebody to pay off your debt, it wouldn't be me, because I don't have $1 million, but it would take somebody who at least had $1 million. And do you realize that for Jesus to pay for your sins, Jesus had to be qualified to pay for your sin? He never sinned, as I explained. All right, so the Bible tells us that he could pay for your sins. All right, so if Jesus Christ paid for all your sins, past, present, and future, What if you were had a billionaire that said, okay, I'm going to give you not only $1 million to get you out of debt, I'm going to give you $2 million. And he gave you $2 million. You took that $1 million and paid off your debt. Now, the difference between that and the $1 million that paid off is that now you have another $1 million. That makes you a millionaire. Now, the point I'm trying to make is that Jesus Christ didn't just simply forgive us of our sins. He gives us so many things. He gives us a right standing with God. He gives us the ability to live for God. And I don't know what kind of habits that you may have in your life, but God can give you the ability to overcome those habits. And above all that, He'll give you heaven when you die. So you can see that the blood of Jesus Christ paid for all your sins. Now here's a question.
I have a question. How do I get that prize or that gift?
Well, don't mess up my illustrations. Okay? No, now if someone said that, what am I going to do? Oh no, let me finish my story. No. Well, let's get into it. What I was going to say is, okay, let's say Jesus Christ, He paid for that sin. Does that mean that everybody is now going to heaven?
No.
No, because if you remember, we showed you in Revelation 20 that some people go to hell. So what makes the difference? And that's the answer to your question that you asked. Okay? All right, Dave gave me a little bit of a hard time today, but that's all right. All he did was just prove that he's a sinner. I'm teasing. All right. The gospel is good news, folks. And Jesus paid it all. Don't let the schemes of men, religion, all kinds of religion cause you to somehow just overlook the fact Jesus paid it all. So my question would be to you, has He paid it all? All right. Well, He did. But we've got to do something. What is that? Exercise saving faith. All right? That's what the Bible says. All right. Any questions? I really wasn't sure, Dave, if I was confusing you or, you know. All right. Because sometimes a person gets confused. Sometimes our illustrations get in the way. We don't want to get so caught up in an illustration that they lose sight of everything that we're teaching them. Wednesday night, those of you that are trainers will break up in your group and have you share what I just did with the gospel. All right? We'll try to do that because that gives us an opportunity to put into practice what we've learned. All right. Now, Father, thank You so much for giving us this day. Help us, Lord, to do our very best to communicate the good news of Jesus Christ. And may You get the glory and the honor in all that we do for Jesus' sake. Amen. Brother Nathan, you want to come up and go over the budget report?
Let's go ahead and take our hymnals and see.